players pending.
What's up?
What's up, guys?
All right. So this week we had a huge episode. Luca, we got a little peek into your backstory.
That was interesting to hear.
But that's not the really crazy part. We finished up this combat with these elves, and it turns out that they had this little weird thing going on in cahoots with Albrax at some point. Like, what? And the guys, they're sitting here. They want to try asking me questions. I've got everybody here with me. Let's go around the table real quick. Haven't done this in a while. Who we got with me?
JD Colo, also known as Grok.
At DarkGear353, also Elduin.
Randy, also Luca.
And this is Boldrux, and slowly turning into one of your least favorite characters, Balgarax.
Good. That means I can kill you and they won't care.
So tonight, Boldrux is on the hot seat. Dude, we got the spotlight on you.
Gosh. Hey,
I figured.
Balgarax, do you mind if I just, turn up the heat? You know, just a little bit, just crank it up.
We're going to smoke them out.
No, I'm good. I'm used to the hot temperature,
So, DJ, what are we doing here, dude? Yeah. It's after hours.
I know.
You locked
the
door and like, can't leave, so what's up?
Just here to drink more coffee.
Are you kidding me? I tried kicking you guys out the door. So I was told by these guys, these yahoos, these weirdos, that they wanted to know a little bit more. And I guess that's what Players Pending is here for. So what questions do you guys have? You guys are like ridiculous in this. So
So remind us a little bit, DM. Or did you already do this? I'm sorry.
He already did that.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
You've forgotten the great words of the DM.
Okay. Yes, I have forgotten.
I'll pose the first question. So I'm like really, really interested in Luca's backstory because honestly, I'm literally in the podcast. I don't know anything about Luca's backstory. So
no one knows anything about Luca.
So. Not even Luca knows anything about Luca's backstory.
So my question is, in her backstory, mm-hmm. I noticed that a lot of what the sister said, like in the note, was really played off of how Luca talked in that, and that was all like off the cuff, like that wasn't scripted. So, DM, did you have different scenarios based on how Luca went in and like handled that situation, or was the sister gonna leave already? Like was it purely based off of what Luca said in that situation?
Interesting.
I mean, only a bad DM would have only one scenario built out.
Right.
What I'm saying though is,
could Luca have maybe convinced the sister to stay, you know?
I mean, like, so without going too much into it, because there's a lot to go around, and I don't want too much to be given away, but where's the home called again?
Stygia,
thank you. I don't have it written down right in front of me, so I forget all that. It's kind of like, Elduin, what's your character's name? No.
I don't know.
But, so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so what would happen? There's a red tiefling in a land where it's only gray tieflings. Like, it's an anomalous area.
Yeah, Stygia, for those who don't know, and I guess for you guys, because I don't think you're big D&D lore buffs.
I know nothing. Okay, I'll just say that.
Stygia is one of the circles of hell, specifically the one that's very cold and icy, run by Levistus, who's trapped in his icy prison.
Goodness.
Yeah, so instead of like burning sulfur and fire and this and that most tieflings come from in the infernal plane. This is like complete opposite.
So that's why she's gray.
So
yeah.
This is where hell freezes over?
It is.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so being a red tiefling in a society of gray, this is abnormal. And you know, just like.
So she's like an outcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
she's royalty too, so that makes it like kind of like an insult to the family in a sense.
Yeah, she's part of the leading family, and she's actually a baroness at the point, you know, leading these things and leading an area, and people just don't respect. She's trying to do things different, and it's just not working.
It's just too nice.
And so, Luca's words just kind of are that final straw that breaks the camel's back. And so, I mean, I think part of that, like that role play, you know, if Luca would have done something different, there still would have been something. It may not have played out in the podcast, but there, I mean, she was already like intending.
She was ready to go.
It's like Mass Effect, where you have the Renegade or Paragon, but it doesn't matter because they both end up leading to similar things.
Yeah, in the end. Yeah.
Luca, I love you, sister. You're so important to me, sister. Luca has been manipulated, and I will now leave to go find who did this.
So, I have a question for Balgrax and Grog, really.
Shoot away.
So, the point where I come up and punch you in the face... What is your what was your reaction? We kind of heard it, but I want to hear it fleshed out.
You talking about in character, or like me myself, I felt about that?
I'm sorry, I said Balgrax. I'm used to calling you Balgrax. Yeah. Baldrux.
Yeah, Baldrux.
We need to.
Always gotta reiterate that.
We get 10,000 subscribers, we'll change the name. I swear.
To Jimmy.
Not to Jimmy.
To Jimmy.
Something cool, you know.
So,
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Jamal.
If it's Jimmy, then we can wrestle you.
So, anyway, what was your opinion of that? Like, I just come and just try to deck you.
So, there is almost actually no surprise on my end to that. Like, I know, like, JD Cole over here was like, you know that meme right now is going around, like that really surprised face.
I don't know memes. I'm sorry.
Popular. Anyways, moving on. He just had the really surprised. Oh my gosh! Like he hit him. Like what?
Why are you making me sound like a little girl?
Okay, that's just a simpler way to put it. Like for them to understand it.
Like I'm sitting here and I was like, wait. PC versus PC. Oh my goodness, this is going to be a nightmare. What do I do?
So, I mean, I totally got where your character is coming from the most part, that you're angry. You saw the symbol in my wrist before, of the broken hourglass or the open hourglass, and then you see it on these people, and they just try to kill us. Mm-hmm. So, my character isn't the wisest, but he can put two and two together. And he doesn't care too much when a friend hits him, because usually it's either playful or he has it coming.
Okay. Grok, what did you feel about that?
I mean, honestly, like, I was trying so hard to defuse the situation because I foresaw Elduin acting, like, when I know Elduin at this point, and, like, when he acts out of his emotions, he doesn't act rationally. I saw that build up. I saw that coming, and, like, also, though, like, when he went up to punch, I was just like,
Elduin, like, I'm just going to walk up, Grok, okay, Elduin, thanks, fist, Grok, what?
Like, honestly, though, I was like, you're just going to punch him? Like, and I guess, like, actually, the emotions were so raw, it was beyond words for Elduin, but for Grok, he was, like, questioning. He's like, all right, like, what's going on with Balgrax? Like, what's going on? But for Elduin, it was beyond words. You know, the emotions were so raw. It was so, and like, honestly, as like acting that scene out, like not acting, but like living that scene out and having a character that we were like being a part of that scene. I don't know about you guys, but like, it was so tense. Like, I literally felt the tension between you guys, and it's your characters.
And with that punch, the thing that made, like I mentioned earlier, for the episode was the punch did not make him mad. It was the reason why he punched him.
Well,
like the assumption that my character is right, people he considers friends or family.
Can I'm sorry. Are you done? I
No, like, I'm not done, good sir. I still have many.
Grok gets in the way.
Grok gets in the way. Stop, guys, please stop.
Okay.
No, but I just like to get across real
somebody
fast.
Somebody call HR. That,
Grok is the party HR department. Let's just put that out there.
I'm still tweaking Balgrok, honestly, here and there. There's so many ways I like to take different characters and things I think of, and you probably notice how sometimes I'm a little bit way more, not a little bit, way more aggressive than what my character's kind of meant to be at times. And sometimes I also forget, like to say, out of character, you know, this would be funny kind of if he did that.
I think you're playing it right, though. He's just aggressive. He's forward. He lives to be in the front. Mm-hmm. He lives to take the first watch. And he lives to like, say the first word, you know? Like, he's forward. I think you're playing that right. I think it's aggression. He's aggressive in every area.
I think you play your character very well. But the reason why I ask that is because nothing is really after scripted. I don't, you know, if you script that, I don't know. But my intention was to actually hit Grok.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At that moment where I was grabbing your shoulder.
Oh, when the arrows came flying.
Yeah, I was about ready.
You were going
to
hit me?
I was about ready to punch. Like, Elduin was ready to punch Grok in the face.
Okay, so I want to lock in on that moment in a second. Mm-hmm. But I want to finish this moment with, like, the punch, you know? So, like I don't know. I just... It was so intense. And I think honestly, I want to say, like, I haven't seen such character development from Elduin. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't seen you play him so well thus far until that moment. And when you grab Grok's shirt, yeah, that was a good moment. But the way you literally played out the emotion, mm-hmm. and the way that the emotion literally started to affect who Elduin was, what his actions were, that was so identity forming. And I think me and the listeners are like, wow, like, that was a big moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think this is going to be a defining moment of the show, because everybody is building who they are. Even Randy, like, you're building Luca and who she is, even with your goofy, I take a nap for 6 seconds.
Well, a very bitter girl.
I don't know if I ever mentioned it, but the specific form of the princess class that I took, I have to have a curse in exchange for my magic powers. And the curse that I took is I'm forever sleepy. So any time to get a nap in, even if it's 1 second.
One round.
Yeah. Or 6 seconds. It helps a little bit.
Yeah, just a quick power nap there.
Maybe that's why she's so cranky all the time.
So there's a little peek behind the curtain there for you.
You know... Could I say something?
I
think each person around the table really chose a defining path for this quest. Maybe not Luca quite yet, but, like, I'll just say for Grok, like, he knew, like, Shima commanded him to be here, but for Grok, I didn't get to say this because we were out of time, and I'll give you guys like this bonus content because, like, we couldn't do enough narrative, but like Grok, it really, really clicked. Like, he was there for the people. He was there to save people. But when he saw that guy die, he was like, I need to save these people. And now he's not trying to take down this cult. He's not trying to take down this plot just because, like Shima said, anymore. It's like, I need to save these people. And that's literally going to be the way Grok plays from now on. It's his motivation now.
They're people. They don't need to die some ridiculously inane death for no reason. This is, you know, Grok's mission now, and
I gotta save these people. And like, I want to hear what you guys' defining moment was in this episode, like, what it really meant.
that was
that was random.
That was somebody outside.
Yeah.
What it really meant to you. But, like, no joke, guys, like, I found myself actually emotional over this dude dying. Like, that's how real this is getting. That's how character defining this is getting. Mm-hmm. When that guy died, like, he's someone who pulled his scimitar out on me and, like, was ready to kill me. And I found myself literally sad over his death. Like, that literally defined the campaign so much for me, like, in an unreal way. It's like an NPC, you know? So, like, what do you feel like defined the direction of your character in that episode?
So you mentioned earlier about my character, how he's very forward and direct. For the most part, he knows what he's trying to. He tries to be honest and forward and whatnot. And there's just very few times where, usually when he has to kind of admit he has some sort of weakness about him, because, or like something he's not sure about. He's very stubborn and in that sense that he doesn't like to admit weakness or that he has doubts. So just having to like explain to you guys about those points in his life where he was unsure and it was just hard on him, and like it makes him feel like he was weak, and it's almost in his blood for him to always feel and strive to be stronger and better, and to have others make him believe that he is strong and better than, not better personally, but just as a good, just better than the average person.
Down to like not letting Eldwyn, like not wanting Eldwyn to help him tie someone up. Like it's not even a big deal, but to Balgrax, it's like, I want to do this.
Yeah,
I want
to. Did you think that I can't do it?
I want to tie this dude up by myself, and that's like, that speaks to how much he needs to like be the forward, you know?
Yeah. Randy, did Luca have a defining moment this week?
Outside of the backstory, since there was so, this was really just a story episode, so I kind of let it just flow. I mean, I got to swindle them out of a lot of money.
Yeah,
he doesn't care too much about quite, money though.
Because you gave what, 30 to each of them?
Yeah.
Well, that's one out of, the gold.
129. Because I also stole 3 from each of the lackeys. Yeah. And then however much silver and copper that is.
Yeah, I mean, Luca herself got a great haul, so.
As far as anything else, I don't know, I was just kind of being annoying this episode because Luca wanted you guys to move on and you guys were crying over these dead guys on the street that just tried to kill us.
Yeah.
There had to be some balance to the sappiness though. You know, like, I think that was like a really good balance.
Yeah.
Someone kept it real.
I think this episode was like real. Like it, as I said in the episode, it's gonna get real. But yeah. Real quick, the question was,
what was your defining moment? Like, or was there a defining moment in this episode for you?
There was like 3 for Eldwyn, I feel, almost.
Honestly.
Well, quite honestly, it was the, you know, it was just the summation of everything that happened to his parents and grandparent. And that will come up later. I feel. And also, if you were wondering where Eldwyn's that has nothing to do with this. I'm sorry.
Where he keeps all of his money. It's under his mattress.
Well,
so okay, let me curve that question then. How is this gonna affect the future of like your role playing for Eldwyn? Like, what? How does this guide your now campaign?
Okay, so
like, is he gonna convert to worshiping Shima now?
We already know that's gonna happen.
Actually,
well, that's a very difficult part for Eldwyn that he will explain now. I'm sorry.
Actually, he has. You know, he might just end up serving another goddess, but
excuse
you
me?
Know, you
excuse
know,
me.
But quite honestly.
Like Chantier.
I wouldn't be... I would not be put aside by you. Hey, you know, we always have an opening, you know, kind of thing.
Does Eldwyn have a god he currently worships?
Worshipers.
He is kind clan and or group do. And
but not personally
no.
Yeah.
But
so this could be a new era of worship for Eldwyn, like his mind opening back up to the higher powers.
And okay. Quite honestly, yeah. I see a really kindred relationship between Grok and Eldwyn.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's been under the surface for a while.
Oh yeah,
and Grok really wanted to bring that out.
And
you know,
we could see that at the beginning of the show. You know, hey, there's something wrong with him. He got really angry.
Yeah. So we're running out of time here, Grok. What was your turning moment, real quick?
I'm sorry.
Just the needing to save people, you know. And I think playing into that is like, Grok is now he's so willing to do what he sees right that he's willing to like stand there and take blows and still stand for what he believes in. And that really speaks to that moment. I want to touch to that moment of like when Elduin was getting physical with Grok. Mm-hmm. I honestly saw Grok as like staying straight faced, like staying like calm and happy. Like I don't care if you punch the lights out of me, I still love you.
Yeah,
you know?
And
Grok unconditional. Grok is like trying to take that stand everywhere, from the dude with the scimitar to Elduin being willing to punch him. Like Grok knew he needed to help Elduin. He was willing to take a punch to show him, you know?
And I totally appreciate that about Grok. I love that about him. He's just that willingness to take my punch to get under my skin.
Grok is like, punch me, I still care. Punch me, I still care, you know?
I don't care. I'm going to get to the point. I'm going to get to what is ailing you.
So I want to let not only you four, but everybody else listening in on a little secret here. So, you guys are currently level 4, yeah?
Mm. Yes.
Level 5 threshold is 6,500 experience.
And?
Do you guys, after this entire encounter with these bandits, these hunters, elven hunters, you are all currently at 6,000 experience.
Wow.
Woo! You guys are 500 shy of this. So
here we come, Golubus.
Yeah.
All we got to do is eat that feast, right? That's 500 experience.
So
500 just for Luca.
Can we
So these guys are going to come ready with their level 5 stuff to our next session, and we're going to go into it.
Level up.
They're not leveling up just yet, but depends on how everything goes with the Golubus, but they're gonna be ready. They're gonna have level 5 ready to go.
I don't see it running anywhere though, so you know.
So
I think we're good.
I've already drawn my sword, so I'm ready.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting late here. I need to go to bed. I personally need my beauty sleep. I know Luca does. So we're gonna say goodnight. So from everybody here at Name Pending, again, thank you all so much for turning this dream of ours into a reality. We really appreciate all of your guys' support. The march to 2,000 and 3,000 and 20,000 downloads has begun. Let's make it there. Go tell your friends, give us a review on iTunes, and let us know what you think. Be honest with us.
Even if it's mean.
So, with that, have a great night, everybody. This has been Players Pending.